Only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you gotta do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas. And if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
What's going on, everybody? Wednesday afternoon. You already know what it is. You are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I'm your host, Jose V, as I am every single Wednesday afternoon. Co-hosting with me again this Wednesday afternoon, because Ian B is out taking care of some family business. Hopefully all is well with him and his family. Got my guy C. Wynn jumping in the studio with me once again. What's good, my guy?
It's going good, man. Good to join you guys. A lot of fun to have one of my other fellow co-hosts on today on the show. And it's Wednesday. Loaded up. Are you kidding me right now? Major League Baseball playoffs. You got the NBA that tipped off last night. Football all over the place. So we got a ton, Jose V, to jump into.
Should be a fun show, man, as it is every single week. And like you said, we're bringing the whole crew together, right?
Yeah.
We got a good friend of ours that we're going to bring on the show here shortly. He's not in studio, but he's joining us through video from the East Coast. He's our good friend, Tom Barton of Tom Barton Sports. We'll bring him on here shortly. But remember, guys, you are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Do what I ask you to do every single week. Press that like. Press that share, drop that comment, and we'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are tuned into today. I want to thank our sponsor that is a part of the show. Before I forget, like I do every single week, he handles our picks of the week as well. But he's been a sponsor on the show for a few years now. It's our guy, Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. We greatly appreciate him. 702-884-8138 and on IG at Line 'Em Up by Eric. Hit him up, letting him Jose V, EMB, and everybody here at Gorilla Cross Radio and Straight Bet Sports sent you. Our guy, Quan59, behind the big board, doing what he does every single week for us here. We greatly appreciate what he does. If it wasn't for him, the show would not get going. But football, baseball, we got a lot to talk about. Baseball is the hot topic right now. Obviously, Yankees moving on, playing back-to-back nights, right? Are they going to be up to the task? We're going to talk to our guest about that. We got the Padres on TV right now in the studio playing the Phillies, 5-run inning here for the Padres, which is just crazy. I know Chris is happy because I know you got a little bit of money on that. But let's go ahead and bring in our guest, bring him on the show. Let's get some conversation going with this gentleman here. Now, if you guys know him on Twitter, Tom Barton, Tom Barton Sports. If you guys are gamblers, part of the gambling Twitter community out there, then you know who this guy is all over the East Coast, West Coast. Tommy, Tom Barton. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yankees are moving on, right? I mean, I didn't celebrate too hard. Like, I hope that they didn't celebrate too hard, but we got to celebrate, right? So, I mean, I know you're repping the hat tonight. You're pumped up. Look, I'm cautiously optimistic about this series, but I'm glad we got that series out of the way. They were an annoying little bug. Josh Naylor was squashed like the bug he is, and now we move on to Houston.
So I'll be honest with you, Tommy, and I had this conversation at work with a few people before I got here today. As a fan, I want them to win, obviously. But as a fan of the sport, looking at the game and what's going on and just everything around it, the Yankees just finished playing a five-game series, Chris, right? Yeah. Back-to-back nights, had to fly out right after this game. I think pitching-wise, Tyon, I want to make sure I say his last name correctly.
Yep.
Fernando, throwing that out there to you, my guy. He's made sure that I said the name right. I think pitching-wise, he'll be okay because he didn't have to bat, right? He wasn't out there playing the field or anything like that yesterday. But I think the bats are going to be a bit tired. I think they might be non-existent today. And if I'm being honest with you, the Astros are throwing out Verlander out there. I just do not see the Yankees winning this game today. If anything, I see it being a close game, possibly 2-1 final. Not sure what you guys think about the game tonight.
Well, straight up, this is the matchup, right, guys? When it comes to the American League, we thought that this would be the most intriguing matchup. You're talking about two of the top teams. Not just the American League, but in baseball. But no question, Jose, to your point, that and Tommy, like your opinion on this too, the quick turnaround is kind of a unique circumstance, given that you essentially don't have a chance to party, right, Tommy? I didn't have a chance, really, to rip it up, because you have to jump on a plane and head down to H-Town for game one of the series less than 24 hours after you just finished this past series. So, they got to take a business approach without question as they head down there to take on the Astros. And I would agree with Jose that there's a possibility that the offense could have some issues given, you know, how quick they've had to kind of jump in to this American League Championship Series.
What do you think, Tommy?
I'm going to give you a little bit of my biased take here. And yes, I'm a Yankee fan. And all your points are absolutely there. Look, the Cy Young winner is going to be Justin Verlander, and he deserves it. He's scary to face in the playoffs. Going to Houston, scary. They're tired and everything. But if you want this team, you've wanted this team for years, there should be no letdown. Your adrenaline should be flying. This should be one of those, okay, we finally got them where we wanted them. Now, Chris just alluded to maybe their bats are a little bit behind and whatnot. Well, look, the bats have been behind for a while now, right? I mean, just Judge hasn't really found himself. Stanton's got a nice bomb, but, you know, you don't really feel good about there. Rizzo's having a decent series. No one's really lighting it up where you go, okay, that is going to be a problem in Houston. Emotionally is what we kind of were talking about. And to me, emotionally, yeah, facing Verlander's tough. Yeah, coming back after you just won is tough. Yeah, going to Houston is tough. All of that, sure. But there's one team that could get them to build up and get that adrenaline. It's the cheating Astros, right? I mean, it's the garbage bail team. We know that. They still want this. And I think that athletes, they say, you don't need motivation. I think athletes always have that extra little bit to give. And if that's the case tonight, Astros could be in some trouble.
The one thing that I will say, man, everybody's saying, well, the Astros own the Yankees in the playoffs. They own them in the regular season. I get all that. During the regular season this year, yeah. So people are saying, well, before they cheated, so it doesn't really count. I was actually one of those people that was on that bandwagon. But if you think about it, if they're clean like they are this season, as we now think they are, right, that they're doing the things that they should be doing everything the right way, they still own the Yankees this year during the regular season. Now, I don't think that you look at the past and you go based off of what happened, but Jose Altuve is 0-16 right now. I don't think he had a hit against the Mariners. So think about that. Even though it's the Yankees, people are like, well, it's the Yankees. He's going to go in there and he's going to get hot against the right team at the right time. I don't see that. This guy's in a slump for a reason. We have pitchers right now that are coming in hot as well. Look what Nestor Cortez did on a closeout game. You know what I mean? He was lights out in that game within the first five innings of that game. If we continue to get that.
How did Verlander look for you last time we saw him? He looked terrible.
Yeah.
He looked terrible. He was beaten up all over the place, right? This is a guy that nobody expected to pitch that many innings. I love your point. Yeah, these guys, they're not the regular Astros right now.
Yeah.
And with respect to the Yankees, right, and their offensive issues, these guys got to wake up from a hitting standpoint. You got way too many guys that are fully capable of being impactful type offensive players that are sub 200 when it comes to their batting averages here in the postseason. It's not necessarily, look, they've had power contributions from the likes of Aaron Judge and obviously Giancarlo Stanton and Rizzo and some others, but it's the Donaldsons, right? It's the Cabreras, it's the Torres, it's the Hickses, it's those guys have to kind of get things going as well too for the Yankees to have a offensive input that they need to beat this Houston Astros team. But a valid point also from Jose, Tommy, regarding Jose Altuve. He just hasn't been the guy that we've seen. What? The Astros have been, you know, we're talking about six straight playoff runs from this Houston Astros team. And Jose Altuve has been smack dab in the middle of all of that. So goes the Houston Astros when it comes to the postseason. So goes Jose Altuve. So if he can't figure it out, then the Astros could definitely be behind the eight ball.
Yesterday was the fourth time that Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton have homered in the same postseason game, which is the most instances by any pair of Yankee teammates in the history of the Yankees. Now, you talked about it. Bats have to get hot at the right time. Aaron Judge hasn't been that hot this postseason, if we're being honest, right? Started off very slow. Giancarlo's been decent. The one guy that I want to see now, since they're giving him more playing time, and I want to see what Tommy has to say about it, because we gave up a pretty good freaking pitcher for this guy, and he never got to play until now, is Harrison Bader. I think we need to see a lot more from this kid. I think now that he's healthy, he gives us a good bat. And not only that, he's pretty good defensively out there on the field, right, Tommy?
How much more do you want? He's got three bombs. He's the guy, man. Bronxville native crushing it. And his defense is just absolutely fantastic. Maybe I'm just spoiled because of that bum Aaron Hicks has been playing in center field. The days that Judge doesn't do a great job. But in all seriousness, no, Bader stepped his game up. He's Mr. Postseason. There are guys that just elevate their game. What you ask out of Harrison Bader is kind of move runners over, you know, get a couple of key hits here and there, and play really good defense. Well, he's being the offense. I mean, you could argue he's the best offensive player over the last series. I don't think that that's really a crazy stance. I love the idea that Bader's getting there. And he takes – his offense is taking some of the pressure off of the fact that DJ LeMay is not on this lineup, right? They went out and got Andrew Benintendi, not in this lineup. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of guys that they're trying out here. IKF has been a train wreck since we've gotten him, and you know, you go get rid of that guy. Yeah, now Aaron Hicks is out. Okay, so you got Cabrera. That's fine. We need somebody to step up with the bat. You're not asking Cabrera. Well, Aaron Boone batting him fifth was, but you're not asking Cabrera to do too much. Bader can be that guy. Bader can be that guy that you don't expect. And hitting at that bottom of the order, he can do what Trevino did earlier in the season. He can do what a couple of guys have done in the middle, because back to Chris's point, Josh Donaldson has been a train wreck, and they're still running him out there. Yeah. His defense has been bad, too. I'd move Bader to the middle of the order if I could, but I do understand breaking it up at the bottom.
Now, Jose, Tommy with just classic New York Yankee fandom pessimism, right? Talking about guys that were in the lineup in the closeout game yesterday, calling them quote-unquote bums. It's awesome. as a Detroit Tiger fan, it's okay hilarious.
Yeah. In IKF, Aaron Hicks, come on.
Guy was in the lineup
and
yesterday.
You got to be honest with you. Got to say
and
the truth,
won.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Harrison
Bader. You're right. Yeah, Tommy's right.
Harrison Bader's hot, right? Yeah. He's doing what they traded for him to do. Now, there was a lot of critics before that. The guy that we traded away is not even in the playoffs anymore. The team is out. They're not even in it anymore. Right. The Yankees are still there. So does this kind of silence some of those critics now, Tommy, and kind of puts them in the backseat for a bit?
It better. Yeah, it absolutely better. I mean, giving away pitching is tough, and I didn't want to give away Montgomery, but I knew right away what Bader was bringing, and that's defense. Look, you can't just continue to keep rolling Aaron Judge out there in center field, especially if you want this long term. I will tell you a quick story here. I'm in a very close dynasty league for 20 years with a lot of guys from St. Louis. The minute the trade happened, they texted me, man, you guys are getting a great player. Oh, you're going to love him. You're going to love him. They texted me before I could say, hey, you're going to enjoy Montgomery, you know? So that's a trade that I think we're going to be okay with. Maybe it's a win-win for both teams. Jose, I want to ask you about this, because I looked at the postseason lineup and I see Frankie Montas' name on there. Uh-huh. And my first instinct was, what is this mess doing on this? Like, what are we doing here? What? Are you crazy? But I did a little research. He absolutely owns the Astros in his career. He owned them this year. For whatever reason, he just pitches really well against them. Do you trust Frankie Montas in a spot this postseason?
I do. I think it's more of a psychological move, because you just pointed to it. He kind of owns this team, right? So what does that do? It puts the other coaching staff, it puts Dusty Baker and his coaching staff on notice. Like, hey, we got to figure this out, right? We got to make sure that all this is going to be done the right way. How are we going to play this guy? How are we going to do anything against this guy? So I just think that it's not necessarily a bad thing, Tommy. I think it's more of a psychological move, in my opinion. What do you think, Chris?
I think I was all on board with the move. Obviously, there was a number of places that he could have ended up. I thought it was a perfect spot for him. And I have full expectation that he's going to be someone that contributes if they end up winning the World Series. I think that's kind of my take when it comes to Montas.
You really think that he's that much of a pitcher that he's going to contribute that much?
I think he's going to contribute enough where he's going to be. I'm not saying he's the most instrumental guy on that staff by any stretch of the imagination, but I believe that if they do win a World Series, his name is going to be part of the discussion.
So when
Chris is the good Yankee fan. Your lips to God.
I told you, Tom, the pessimism, baby. It's commonplace in the Bronx when it comes to your boys.
So no obviously, question. We know what we have to expect from Gerrit Cole. We already know that Gerrit Cole's the ace of this rotation. Obviously, we know that, Tommy. But when it comes to the rest of this pitching staff, in your eyes, in your opinion, from what you've seen this season, first half of the season, second half of the season, now moving into the postseason, who do you think has to be that solid for sure guy that no one really is necessarily talking about in that rotation that needs to step up?
I mean, the obvious answer is Severino, but I think we know what we're getting out of Severino in the playoffs. You're getting four solid innings. I mean, if you get five, you're happy. So that puts a taxing on a bullpen that is missing a guy like Ron Marinaccio, a bullpen that's missing, you know, a lot of pieces, obviously. And Michael King went down and Chapman sitting at home, and good riddance to that bum. You know, I mean, you know, it's rough. So when you talk about who it is, I mean, it's obviously Severino, but I don't think we can expect too much. What Nestor gives us, that's everything, isn't it, Jose? I mean, and I don't talk in the us a lot, but Nestor feels like he's one of the guys, right? He feels like I can count on him. You got Cole, you got Nestor you could count on. If they could get anything out of Tyone, and if they could get more than four innings out of Severino, I think that that really is something that will put people on the back burner and go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Now we have to compete with them. Severino giving us four good innings, I don't think it's going to be enough. Tyone tonight giving you three good innings, it's not going to be enough. Someone's got to give a little length because the bullpen, it's just not the strongest this year.
So I want to talk Phillies Padres with you, but before we move on from the Yankees, final thought on that, especially because you're a gambling man, you know what I mean? That's part of your profession there. If you're a handicapper, what type of advice would you give someone that is trying to still handicap this series in any type of way? Because you're still going to get live options throughout the series moving forward after every game, things of that nature. Do you even handicap props, things of that stuff, and how do you go about it?
Yeah, I mean, prop plays are great to handicap. You know, I always look at, everybody loves to bet the overs and everything, right? I mean, the overs are just the fun thing to do. I make a lot of money betting on the unders.
Okay.
You know, betting on a guy that doesn't get a hit today. Bet on it. You only got four at-bats, right? I mean, you let him walk a couple of times. Bet on a guy that doesn't get an RBI, doesn't get a run scored. The dozens always seem to work out really well. Nestor Cortes had an over-under of 4.5 strikeouts the other night. You know, that was one of those spots where you go, oh, well, how long is he going to go into the game? A Severino, a good under there, because we just talked about. So I think you could do a lot more prop plays. If you really want to bet this series, though, right now you're not getting the Yankees at a great price. You're getting a decent return, but not at a great price. But if you want to bet the Yankees, take them in game one, plus 165, plus 170. And then if you want to bet the Yankees, if they lose game one, double down, because their number's going to go up pretty extraordinary. If you're somebody that's betting the Astros, you better get on it right now, because if they're up 1-0, their number's going to skyrocket. So it kind of depends on that. And then also, you know, obviously the totals are something you could take advantage of. I think everybody likes to, in Major League Baseball, see a lot of runs. Every run is designed. But again, it's the playoffs. The unders probably are the way to go.
Series price right now, Jose and Tommy, minus 200 on Houston, plus 175 on the New York Yankees. In the game tonight, Houston Astros minus 190 on the money line. Yankees plus 170. If you want to go run line, get a little frisky and take the Astros on the run line, it's plus 120 on that situation.
And Chris, and Chris, if the Astros win tonight, right, you get plus 175 back with the Yankees, you said 170, 175. If the Astros win, they go up 1-0, you're going to be getting 220, 230 back with the Yankees. If you like the Yankees, you're not caring about game one. You're not actually banking on game one. You're going, Cole's going to be good, Nestor's going to be good, we're going to get him later on in the series. So that's what I'm talking about. If you really like the Yankees, bet them small for game one, hope that something happens, and then you could pound them for game two, win or loss.
So the one thing that I will say betting-wise that I like in this game, call me crazy, okay? I know we just talked about Jose Altuve being in a slump. If you can get him at a good price, I'm not sure what the price is out there, and depends on what state you're in, because not all betting options are available everywhere. If you can get him at over 1.5 total hits, I'd take that. I can see him getting two hits tonight. I can honestly see him getting two hits tonight, as crazy as that sounds. I can see him getting out of that slump because, again, it is a mental thing as well. Some guys are just better against certain pitchers or certain players or certain things of that nature. You know what I mean? They just feel more comfortable. So call me crazy. Whatever the odds are out there, I don't have the numbers here. I'm just throwing that out for you guys. I like Jose Altuve over 1.5 hits today. So just throwing that out there for that game. Now, real quick, I got to say this because Quan loves throwing beautiful comments out on our Facebook feed. He goes, Jose was wearing the Dodgers hat last week. On last week's show, and now he's wearing a Yankee hat on this week's show. Next week, he's going to be wearing a San Diego Padres hat, folks. Now, here's the thing. Again,
wow.
Chris already knows because I've sent you a picture of my closet.
Exactly.
I have a bunch of hats of everything. I'm a hat guy. One, I am from L.A., so I support the Dodgers, but I'm not a Dodger fan. I grew up going to Dodger Stadium because that's the only thing I could go watch. The Yankees weren't in L.A., you know what I mean? But I'm a Yankee fan. My first son is named after Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? Of course I'm going to root for the Yankees. It's a hat thing, guys. I wear hats all the time. I probably wear a Dodger hat next week, and it'll be a different color one that'll have the Lakers colors because the Lakers are playing the NBA season. But, Quan, I appreciate your comment. And thank you for the sound.
Speaking of that, I got to ask you, because you are a Yankee fan, and we're talking about symbols and whatnot. Mm. How did you like this by Judge? Did you see that?
Yes. No, I didn't see that.
He in the dugout, he's kissing the NY on his shirt. Now, I'm not reading too much into it, but does that mean he's coming back, or is he playing in San Francisco next year?
Here's the thing. I know I wanted to move on to the Padres, but you brought this up. I can't see him in any other uniform. I can't see Brian Cashman making that mistake. Like, I understand it's going to be a lot of money, but there
is. I can see Brian Cashman doing a lot of things.
I mean, I can't, but I'm saying this would be just huge if you let him walk. I mean, if he does not stay a New York Yankee, and if he does walk, because obviously you got to stay healthy, and he does walk and continue to play the way he's playing, dude, someone's going to get fired, like, straight up. Like, he needs to stay. Do I believe in my heart of hearts that he will be a Yankee? Yeah. Am I 100%? No, I'd probably say 75-25. I'm on the fence right there, but I think he'll be a Yankee next year again. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. He'll get paid. What do you think, Tommy?
I think he's out of town. I think he's a San Francisco boy going back to San Fran. I got no confidence in cheap, stingy Hal Steinbrenner, the mess that Cashman is at this disaster, tripping over his own feet. I got no faith. He's going to San Francisco. Harrison Bader's going to be batting fourth for us next year with his, like, 18 home runs.
Man, there he is, man. Yeah. Giving it to you straight always. That's some crazy stuff. Tommy does not hold back, man. But before we continue to the next topic and the next game, Tommy, real quick, tell everybody about your website and what you do with it real quick for all the gamblers out there.
Guys, go check out TomBartonSports.com. It's really simple. Look, what I do, I don't call you. I'm not promising things, saying the L word, which is lock. We don't talk about that. Every day, I just give you the plays. I give you a little bit of a write-up. There's usually one or two plays per day over the course of a 30-day membership, and membership's less than $200. Over a 30-day membership, you're going to get 60 to 80 plays, sometimes 100 plays, depending on that. And what I can tell you is this. We've been in business now for 12 years. Out of those 12 years, I've never had a losing season in any sport ever. So I'm not telling you that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be able to buy you a brand new Lexus or whatever, but I could probably make the car payments for you if you follow my system and you just take the place. That's TomBartonSports.com.
There we go, Tommy. Appreciate it. And not only that, check out his YouTube page. That thing has been growing amazingly. Props to you on that as well. I told you I was checking out some stuff. What's up?
And Jose, not even that. I mean, look, Tommy Barton, not only is he a handicapper, this is a man who's also a radio host, folks. Yeah. I mean, he has shows all over the place. He's got a show on the East Coast, and he does a show here locally here in Las Vegas called Heatwave Sports, which I, of course, jump on with him here on Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. So
a show that you and I have both co-hosted with Tommy and Tim as well. Big shout out to Tim Unglesby, you know, to him out there. If you guys
see, I'm wearing the shirt, #SGN. That's Sports Garden Network. That's my show. Want to Bet Weekend Edition. For you, anybody out there that might be listening, that's Yankee fans and they're New York fans. It's a syndicated show. So I'm in 110 stations across America. It's not just New York based, but we have Tom Coughlin coming on in a couple of weeks. So that should be pretty good. Jumping on the show. And you know, I don't usually do a lot of guests because we're right up until kickoff, but on the Sports Garden Network, we're going to get Tom Coughlin on. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There used to be times where I worked, thank God I don't work Sundays anymore. But when I would work Sundays, right before I got to work, I'd be in the parking lot listening to Tommy, and there'd be times where I'd text him, you know, I like this, I like that, whatever. So if you guys are out there in the books and you have your headphones on and you're trying to listen to something, You have smartphones. You could do this on the websites. It's not just about, you know, having to be in your car, which is the best part about it. So make sure you guys check out what Tommy does out there on all things social media. But Phillies, Padres. I believe you're talking about having money on the game, Chris.
Yeah, the two teams we did not expect, right, Tommy and Jose, woo, to be in the National League Championship Series as the vaunted Los Angeles Dodgers go down, obviously. So now you've got a matchup of two teams looking to get to the Fall Classic. And game one, guys, right? Zach Wheeler, impressive as all get out, 7 innings pitched. Basically a shutout throughout the game, and the Padres were able to muster up only one hit. Then what did they follow it up with? They followed up with a 4-0 lead in game two. The Philadelphia Phillies, only to be eclipsed by this Padres squad, and San Diego scores 7 straight runs, essentially, and has a lead in this game, in game two here, in this matchup between these two squads. But first of all, Tommy, I mean, you have to be, all of us are, surprised that these are the two teams that are vying it out for the National League Championship.
Yeah, I'm surprised, but I'm not that shocked about Phillies, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, before the season began, me and Tim on Heatwave Sports actually talked about this, and I said Milwaukee and Philly are the two teams that I'm terrified of getting into the playoffs, because you had Burns and Woodruff, and you had Nola and Wheeler, you know? And the thing with Philly, it was always, could they find a bullpen? And then could they find a 3-4 guy? But a 1-2 in the playoffs can bring you a long way. And it's not that they just have a 1-2. They have a superstar in Bryce Harper in the middle. I don't think people are giving Bryce Harper enough credit, because, you know what, maybe he's not the nicest guy and people don't like his flamboyancy or whatever it might be. Maybe the expectations were too high. You start looking at Bryce Harper's career from somebody outside, you're going, this is a Hall of Fame career. This is a top 10 player in the sport. You have him in the middle of the order. You have the home run king in the National League and Schwarber in the middle of the order. And then you have the 1-2 of Wheeler and Nola. Man, I'm not that shocked, only because of the 1-2 punch. And once you get to a short series in the playoffs, that 1-2 punch becomes even better.
Bryce Harper is getting hot at the right time. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine that lives in Philly, that's a big Philly fan of everything. Big shout out to my guy, Tim Diener. And he's like, bro, we're healthy right now at the right time. We squeaked into the playoffs. We're here. And we have everybody. And like you guys mentioned, the pitching at the right time after winning the games that you have to win. Granted, this five-run fifth inning was a bit tough to watch. I mean, if you're a better and you got the total, you're feeling really good about yourself right now. But talk about series prices. I'm sure if you have anything on this series, or if you bet anything, or Chris, because I know you bet the game today, right?
Yeah, I didn't bet the series, but I did take the game. I'll probably be having some action on the individual games. But Tommy, you can speak to that, right? As far as your perceptions regarding this series, and also about the Padres as well, too, right? Obviously, making the move to get Juan Soto there in San Diego, it propped up a lot of Padre fans. The Friar faithful down there were all kinds of fired up when you get the likes of Soto. Obviously, then the suspension to their best player, your up and coming superstar, is going to, you know, toss a little bit of water on the expectations for the Padres. But now they kind of defied those expectations. They are now in the National League Championship Series. Your thoughts as far as the Padres getting here, and also as far as what Jose referred to as far as the sports betting aspect of this as well.
Yeah, the Padres are shocking, not because they're here, but because of what they had to do to get here, which was slay their dragon, slay the Dodgers. I mean, it reminds me of 1988, the Dodgers beating the Mets. I think the Mets that year won all but like 2 games against them in a head-to-head series. They owned them for a couple of years going in, and then boom, the Dodgers were the magical team and went on to win in 1988. Obviously, we know what happened. Well, San Diego kind of slayed their dragon. You know, they asked David Ortiz, I'm a big David Ortiz fan, obviously, but they asked David Ortiz about that, and they asked him, you know, what was it like to slay the Yankees and then look at the Cardinals? And they kind of, you know, he basically said, well, once we beat the Yankees, we knew we were going to beat the Cardinals. And I wonder if that's how San Diego kind of got bit in that first game, because, well, they did that. They built up to beat the Dodgers. They slayed the dragon that had owned them and then come back down. I think San Diego's a well put together team, but I think that they do really play on emotion a lot, which can work for them or against them. So I'm a little surprised that San Diego's here, not because they're not a good team, but because they actually did slay their beast and slay the Dodgers. As far as the series price, I jumped all over Philly right away. You give me Nola and Wheeler 1-2. You give me at a plus money. I was getting plus 125. You know, a lot of people got like plus 115 or whatever. Still, plus money with Wheeler, with Nola, and I'm going, look, I want to bet a couple of these games anyway. Instead, I'll bet the whole series. I think it's going to go deep. I think we're looking at a 6 or 7-game series, but I like the 1-2 punch, and I always go with – when I don't do anything in betting in baseball, I always go with starting pitcher. I'm still an old-school guy.
Once again, Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, Chris Wynn, Tommy Barton, Tommy Barton Sports, and, of course, Heatwave Sports joining us here on Gorilla Cross Radio. Quan 5'9 behind the big board doing what he does for us every single Wednesday. GorillaCross.com and the Gorilla Cross app, man. If you haven't checked it out, do so now and download the app. It's completely free, free 99. People can't get too many free things nowadays, so go ahead and download that app and enjoy all of the content on there, not just our show. Now, the Dodgers are no longer in it, obviously. Big disappointment with the record and everything that they did and everything that they accomplished, and then to fail. And then now we have two wild card teams in the NLCS, which is the crazy thing about it. Now, Tommy, I think I already know. I'm pretty sure I've already heard you say, but what are your true thoughts on Dave Roberts? I mean, how do you really feel about Dave Roberts and what he has done, or shall I say, failed to do as the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers?
The most expensive team in history, the most talented team maybe we've ever seen. This guy has fallen flat on his face. I mean, that, you know, I can sit here and tell you how much I hate Dave Roberts, and I do, right, obviously. But I think it's not a hating thing, guys. You know, I mean, just look at the numbers. Just look at the failure rate. And you could say, well, you know what? It's a short game series. It doesn't matter. Give any other manager the pieces that he has, and he's going to be a little bit more successful over the course of the years. You could look at one trip up. You can look at one situation and go, okay, they messed up there or didn't work out there and they got bit there. No. This is multiple times. And if you watch games, I don't believe that managers in basketball or baseball make a huge difference. Head coach of basketball, obviously. I don't think they make a huge difference. Even in hockey, I don't think it makes a huge difference. But the errors that you make or the successes that you make are glorified or absolutely ridiculed. Dave Roberts makes 2 or 3 of them a week. I mean, he really makes head-scratching moves, and then he makes them in the playoffs where you go, I just don't understand what was going on there. It's not second-guessing him. It's first-guessing him. You almost look at it and you say, if Dave Roberts wasn't around, you just rolled the ball out with this talented crew, they could probably win games, right? I mean, so you look at Dave Roberts and you go, are you working against us? I think it's too analytical-driven, the entire baseball landscape as it is, okay? One of the reasons I don't love Aaron Boone, too analytical-driven as it is, but Dave Roberts only pushes that further, and he takes the ball out of pitchers' hands when you see that they shouldn't. He goes to the wrong guys, and even his lineup decisions are questionable at best. I think that the Dodgers need to look somewhere else, but I've been saying that for a couple of years.
Lots of question marks regarding the Dodgers moving into the offseason, especially one of their big-name guys, Trey Turner, I believe is going to be a free agent. So what are they going to do there with him? Are they going to pay him? Are they going to bring him back? That's yet to be seen. But my final question before we move away from baseball, because I want to move into some football talk too with you guys here as well, is your thoughts on the playoff system. When they had the one-game wild card, I was never a fan of it. I thought it wasn't enough. You know, one game just doesn't make any sense for a playoff game to me. Now that they did the whole best of three, whoever wins two, and then they move into the best of five, and then only the World Series is the best of seven. I'm starting to like this format. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I really, really like the way that they set it up. It kind of answered my questions, if that makes sense, on if they ever thought of how they would change it. They changed it kind of the way that I was expecting and hoping that they would. I like it. I don't know how you guys feel about the whole playoff format and the way it is set up now.
Well, look, I'm going to be Captain Obvious here. There's pros and cons for both aspects and viewpoints on this. Obviously, there's been those who say, well, it cheapens the regular season, right? When you just have essentially a 162-game season, and then all of a sudden a matter of one game or even just three games can decide the outcome in the playoffs. And then there's obviously the other side of it, which is it adds all kinds of intrigue, right, guys, when it comes to the back end of the regular season. We're talking about the last 25 to 30 games of the regular season, and you've got all these teams that can be theoretically in the mix and can make the playoffs and are still relevant, and they're not teams that are sitting 30 games below 500 that, you know, and you don't have 24 out of the 32, you know, 24 out of 32 teams that are irrelevant. Then that can be a good thing for baseball too. So I can kind of see it both ways. But for me, I think it's a good thing. I really do. And look, I understand that the immediacy of just having a one game playoff can be detrimental, obviously, the team that doesn't win. But I'm more in the camp that I think it's a good thing for baseball.
What do you think, Tom?
Jose, can I answer this like a politician and basically answer it two different ways?
Yeah.
I'm old school, okay? Yeah. I don't like anything wild card at all. I don't like interleague play at all. But if you're asking me if this is a better format than the one-game playoff, oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, I could buy into this completely. And I look at this and I go, I don't understand why you would, like Chris said, take a 162-game schedule and then truncate it into one game. That's not baseball, okay? Football's like that. I get it. It's not baseball. It's not the nature of baseball. So I liked, look, no wild card. I like divisions. I like the division winner to get a some kind of benefit. I liked all of that, okay? And they tried to bring some of it back. I thought the one-game playoff was the dumbest thing baseball did since the runner on second, which luckily is gone. So, yeah, I'm going to answer two ways. I don't like this playoff format because I remember what we used to have, but I certainly like it a lot more than what we just came from.
There we go.
The second base thing's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It makes absolutely zero sense.
On there,
guys, it has nothing. It completely changes baseball strategy from the jump and at its core. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me. You're throwing somebody on base in extra innings.
Chris,
and, I mean, come on now. Terrible.
Chris, I am a little league coach for a couple of years. And I absolutely, you know, I love doing it. If they propose putting a runner on second base, okay, in extra innings in Little League, I would have had a problem. I would have been like, come on, guys, what are we doing? The kids are older than this. We're out of T-ball, right? Yeah. And you can see it. That's what I would have said, except major leagues are doing it. Yeah, that was the dumbest rule I can remember in sports in a long time.
It doesn't make any sense. Let it be. Let them play. Let them play the way it is. If the games are extended 18, 19 innings, who cares? It's baseball. It's part of it. I hate the fact that you're trying to give them an advantage just to speed up the game and end the game. Get the hell out of here with that. Anyways, once again, Jose V, Chris Wynn, Tom Barton, Quan 5'9 up in the studio hanging out, talking some sports here. Phillies down 3-7-4 against the Padres. What are we in the seventh inning here? Top of the seventh, two outs, 1-2. And your Detroit Pistons, my man.
Taking on the Orlando Magic opening night. Yeah, we had two games last night.
Down by nine right now.
They're down by nine.
Down by nine right now.
They went a little cold streak there in the first quarter, but it's regular season NBA. Let's not get crazy.
You don't watch until 4 minutes left in the fourth anyway.
100%, Tommy. 100%.
Four minutes left in the fourth quarter.
We're going to jump into some NFL right now, though, right,
We definitely got to jump into some NFL. Yeah. Now, obviously, some surprise teams. Now, let's go ahead and I'm going to give you guys the rankings. And these are from basically they're not my rankings because I don't have any of these. These are from NFL, the NFL Power Rankings from ESPN. They have coming in at number 10, Tampa Bay, which I'm a little surprised by that. I thought they'd be below that, if I'm being honest with you. Mm-hmm. We got my New York Jets jumping in at number 9, first time, and I don't know how long they've cracked the top 10. Looking really good right now, if we're being honest, even though the schedule probably isn't the greatest, but you got to beat who you have to beat. It's in front of you. It is what it is. Chargers coming in at number 8. Baltimore Ravens coming in at number 7. Dallas Cowboys hopefully getting Dak Prescott back soon here at number 6. The New York Giants, 5-1 on the season, surprisingly, at number 5. Minnesota Vikings at number 4. Kansas City Chiefs, which was also surprising to me, number 3. That's pretty high based off of what their current record is. But Philadelphia at number 2, and then we got Buffalo at number 1. One or two for Buffalo and Philly, I'm okay with that. I can see either or team there, if I'm being honest with you. I'm a big Buffalo hater, obviously, because they're in my division, and I'm a New York Jets fan. But I also have a bet against my buddy, and I don't want them to win. But if I'm being honest with you, from what I've seen from this Buffalo team, I know I talk a lot of crap about Josh Allen, but they're scary right now to watch. Like, this Buffalo team is legit. I know they have one loss under their belt right now, but other than that, this team is scary, scary to watch. Philly is undefeated, but if we're being honest, Philly has looked a lot rougher against opponents that I think they should have looked a lot better, as where Buffalo's just been out there just dominating teams.
Well, I'm just more impressed with Buffalo. Sure. You go on the road in that hostile environment against your arch rival in the AFC right now that could end up, by the way, we may be watching a rivalry that is going to be just all kinds of fun for the next, 10 years in the AFC when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and the Bills and the Chiefs. But it was a marquee game that checked all the boxes. But, Tommy, we got you on here. You're in New York, and Jose V is a Jets fan. This is what's improbable, really, about the NFL this year. The New York Giants and the New York Jets. One team's in the NFC, One's in the AFC. I got to get your thoughts on both of these organizations, what they've been able to do, because you're talking about basically two teams, two organizations that were wallowing in sub-mediocrity, if not, you know, the pure basement of their respective conferences. And now you're talking about two teams that are that look like they could be playoff contenders in both the AFC and the NFC.
Chris, I write an article that you know comes from Sports Garden Network every week, and right about now is when I start writing hockey articles and New York Knicks and Nets articles, because you can't mention football, right? Any other year, you just can't.
Yeah.
The Jets and Giants are usually out of it by now. They're done. The season's over. Let's talk about the draft. I'm writing draft articles in mid-October. Not this year, man. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, and it's all about coaching. Robert Saleh looks good.
Yeah.
I've been on him. I didn't think he was going to be that guy. Robert Saleh looks good. We knew Dable was going to come in and look good. I'm going to put a little bit of a spin on this that New York is not going to like, but it's reality. A lot of smoke and mirrors here. It just is, you know. I mean, look, you're as good as your record is, and that's all. You can't watch a Giant game and tell me that you think they're going to do anything more than just impress here and there this year, right? They're 5-1. They've scored more than 20 points in one game. Okay, Daniel Jones has four fourth quarter comebacks. Do we think that's sustainable? Do we think that that's going to happen in December and January? Do we think that this team's a playoff team and winning playoff games? No. But it's great growth, right? So you don't want to take anything away. You look at the Jets. They've beaten backup Jacoby Brissett. They've beaten backup Kenny Pickett. They've beaten or Mitch Trubisky, whatever you want. They beat a third stringer in Skylar Thompson. And they beat the shell and the ghost of Aaron Rodgers, which is going on right now.
But you still have to go on the road in some tough environments. Be honest. Pittsburgh is still a tough place to go win no matter what.
Going up against Green Bay. Pickett.
Let's be real, Tommy.
Jacoby Brissett, now, Kenny Pickett, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown for more than 275 in eight straight games.
And let's be real, too, guys. The New York Jets.
I forgot how much Tommy loves Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's the thing. No, but Tommy, we're talking about the Jets, right? We're talking about the Jets. Yeah. Let's talk about your guys. Let's talk about them, okay? Offensively, they're challenged. Let's be straight up and honest about it. Look, you like Breece Hall, what he's brought to the table so far.
He's got better week after week.
But offensively, they're not one of the more gifted offenses in the NFL.
It's the defense. When it comes,
Tommy, and Tommy, you can attest to this.
Chris, Garrett Wilson isn't utilized.
Right, exactly. But Tommy, so this team goes, so goes this New York Jets defense, right? The defense has been outstanding and is the big key why they are sitting right now at 4-2. Right, Tommy?
Sauce Gardner.
Quinnen Williams leads the league right now in defensive tackle pressures. Quinnen Williams leads the league right now in defensive tackle stops. The guy is an absolute beast. And when you fill up that middle, we've seen it with great guys like Ndamukong Suh and Warren Sapp in the past. When you fill up that middle, everything else works around it. The Jets are not a great defensive team right now, but they're playing really well because of their stars. I heard Jose mention Sauce. Yeah. Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams. They got big holes. But you can't get to those holes because of what Williams is doing up front.
So the one thing that I will say, and I've said it before, and I saw it in preseason. And in preseason, what I saw was coaching. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw from Robert Saleh and his coaching staff was coaching. Being able to coach what's around you and what you have, and they're doing that right now. I know, and I agree with Tommy. I'm not hyped up either thinking that the Jets are going to have a winning record or we're going to go crazy or make the playoffs or anything like that. Is it great to see as a Jets fan? Obviously, you're always happy no matter what fan of the team you are, Lions, you know, Patriots, whatever it may be. You're happy to see your team win. So, of course, I'm happy that my team is 4-2. Do I think that it's a big overreaction from what we're seeing? Yeah, I think it is. Am I happy from what I'm seeing on the defensive side of the ball and from Sauce? Because you don't want to draft a young man like that and ruin his career and him not have an opportunity to be great. He's been great for this organization since day one, and what he's done on that field, his numbers speak for themselves. But I think I'm with Tommy. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors here, and I'm in agreement with you. Offensively, we're very, very challenged. I know what Breece Hall brings to the table. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we drafted him. I think he can be our back for the future, maybe the next 3 or 4 years, because we know backs don't last that long in this league anymore. But also, Garrett Wilson needs to get the ball a lot more. That Wilson-to-Wilson connection needs to be there. I understand he's got Elijah Moore, and he had that connection with him last year, and that's what he likes. But you have a guy in Garrett Wilson that you drafted pretty high that did a lot in college that can bring more to the table. You can have two killer weapons on each side of the ball. Why not use that? So I agree with both of you guys on a lot of points here. But I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things, because I was talking about it with Mike last week and a couple of friends as well. There's a quarterback controversy in New England, and I don't care what anybody says. Bailey Zappe is legit. 24 of 34, 309 yards and two touchdowns. I get it. It's against Cleveland. But you saw what this kid did in Western Kentucky. I'm sorry. I think that this kid can possibly take this job from Mac Jones if Mac Jones is still out for a while and this kid continues to play great. What's to say that Bill Belichick doesn't keep him in?
It's possible Mac Jones is back this week. I mean, you have a great point. Bailey Zappi's played well, but neither one of them are really going to be the running, the show in the offense, right? I mean, it's the fact that they found Ramondre Stevenson. That's really what this is. And the Harrison Stevenson show, before Harris went out, he had scored a touchdown in 17 to 21 games. The guy gets no respect. But that's the offense that there's going to be. By the way, Thornton, one of the fastest guys in the NFL, they're finally utilizing him. I think it's an overall offensive feel. But I think you're right. Bailey Zappi might steal this job. Here's my prediction, though. Neither one of them are the starting quarterbacks when New England's back to being what New England is. That might be 2 years. It might be 3 years. I don't think either one of them is the future here, which is more of an impactful thing to say, Jose.
Here's another one for you, then. I'll throw a little wrench in there for you. You just mentioned it about them not being the guys in the future. Mm-hmm. So are we talking about Bill Belichick being the guy in the future? Is he still going to be there?
Yes. Bill Belichick knows how to put defenses together, which he did. Bill Belichick wants to run the ball, which he's had. I think Bill Belichick's doing a phenomenal coaching job this year with the talent he has. Bill Belichick's only problem, Jose, has always been he lets his front office brain get involved with his coaching brain. I don't think he's a good front office guy. I think his ego is like, I can win with that guy. I'll grab that guy off the street. You know, I think he feels like that, and he gets himself in his own way. But I think he's I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he wants to leave on top. I think he's embarrassed with what Brady did to him. And I think he doesn't leave until he gets a contender back.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Jose and Tommy, let's jump across the coasts to the AFC West. Well, obviously, this was one of the more talked about divisions in football before the season started, because you had four teams that were thought to be playoff contenders that could be going deep when it comes to the postseason. In the NFL, it was capped off by Monday night's matchup between the Chargers and the Denver Broncos. Tommy, this trade, obviously, for Russell Wilson in Denver, you bounce around social media. People are discussing it as possibly the worst trade in the history of the NFL, him going to the Denver Broncos. We understand what the situation there is in Denver with this team, and to be even nice about it, three of the teams in that division have absolutely underperformed when it comes to that division. Obviously, Kansas City, the one outlier. Got to get your thoughts on what Russell Wilson has been able to do so far in Denver, your perception on this division, where it sits right now, as opposed to what the expectations were for the AFC West.
Well, Chris, you know from being on Heatwave Sports with me, you guys, Heatwave Sports, Las Vegas, you know that I've said this. This is not Russell Wilson's fault. It's not the offense's fault. It's not Javonte Williams' fault. It's not Melvin Gordon's fault. One man, Nathaniel Hackett, is a joke. He was a terrible hire when it happened. You know I said it on Heatwave Sports the day it was happening. I said, they hired Hackett? He's horrible. I mean, look, he was against our teams, Chris, right? Yeah. And we watched the scheming that Nat Hackett had when you're going against him. And it was almost comical that this guy got the job. He is horrible. He bungled game one away. He's bungled multiple games away. The guys don't respect him in that locker room. While Russell Wilson has to take some of the blame, and he's taking a lot of the brunt of the blame, he's too much of a nice guy to just go, do you see what head coach I have? Do you see this clown? But that's the reality. This is a Hackett problem.
And you're right, Tommy. Yeah, my Detroit Lions didn't have solid records against a lot of teams in the NFC North, but when Hackett was there in Green Bay, it didn't matter how bad the Lions were. They were always in games with Green Bay or beating them in certain cases, too. So that's
Third and eight.
A fair point you made. Let's put it that way when it comes to Hackett and Green Bay.
Hey, the Broncos are in trouble, man. They're playing my Jets this week. The Jets, I believe, are undefeated on the road this year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they've lost the game this season on the road, so they could continue that streak. The line is really low. The line's sitting at one, man. It's floating right there. A lot of the money coming in on the Jets, though. A lot. Obviously, it's only Wednesday.
This
I get it.
The line opened up at three. It's all the way down to one because the people are – here we go, Jay.
88.
Fireman Ed, make some room on the bandwagon, baby.
88% both ways. Money line and ATS, all Jets money. That's insane right now. Obviously, it's early. Like, again, things can change throughout the week moving into Sunday, but that's going to be an interesting one right there, because if the Jets end up going in there and beating the Broncos, then what is next for real at that point for that team? And not only that team, but Russell Wilson, man. That's going to be interesting to see there, obviously. But we got about 10 more minutes left here on the show. I want to get into the picks of the week. So, Tommy, I did mention to you that we do our picks of the week every single week. Let me pull up my leaderboard here and everything that we got going on. So far, our guest picks of the week are 4-0. We had Mike Davis give us two picks last week. He had the Vikings at -3.5, and he said take Iowa State as well. They're going to cover. So he hit that. So minus. So he's at 2-0 for the week. That puts the guest picks at 4-0. Chris had the Eagles to cover. He hit that 1-0 as well on his picks. Ian, I forgot to mention it on the show last week, guys. I apologize for that. But he took the Vikings at -3.5. He was in agreement with Coach. So I had the Saints, which was not a good one. They kind of fell there. I should have went with the Falcons, which was my first pick, since they are the only undefeated team in the NFL against the spread. Let me throw that out there before I get people confused about what I'm saying. Only undefeated team against the spread in the NFL. Looking pretty good so far, 3-3. I get the record is at 500, but I like what I'm seeing from Atlanta overall. I'm not expecting anything more from this team, but for them to be 3-3 at this point in the season, I like it. I like it. And for them to be able to be in close games and as a better, as a gambler, show that they're covering, not only does it make put money in your pocket, obviously we know that, but it shows you that they're a legit team. They're not getting blown out. They're not losing by big type of spreads here, right? They're in these games. So that's what you want to see from this Atlanta Falcon team, especially. I love Marcus Mariota. I love the fact that he finally got his starting opportunity back. You know what I mean? He's got weapons there too, so he doesn't have an excuse. So 3-3 to me is really good for this Atlanta team right now. But Tommy, you're the guest. We'll let you go first. I don't know if you've already had time to look through. You can give us one. You can give us two. You can give us NFL and college, or just one or the other, whatever you like. What do you got for us today with your guest pick?
I'll give you NFL and college. I'm going to start with college, and Chris is going to get a big smile out of this. I do a podcast that is Believe in the Ivy League on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm giving you a Friday night Princeton-Harvard over, okay? Look, Harvard came in. They were supposed to be one of the best defensive teams in this Ivy League. It has fallen apart for Harvard on the offensive, defensive side of the ball, but offensively, they're rolling. Last week, they beat Howard 41-25. Before that, they scored 35 against Cornell. They put 35 up against Brown. This is a team that's got offensively, they're going to score 35, 40 points. That's what they do. Princeton was supposed to be the best offense in this Ivy League conference. I still believe that they have a lot of talent. I'm going to take the over. It's set real low, depending on where you're looking, 48, 48 and a half. Even if it gets up to the 50s, this game could be played into the 60s. Now you want an NFL pick? I'll give you one of these. This just goes down to me and my belief in coaching in the NFL. I'm giving you Mike Vrabel minus the 1.5 or 2, depending on where you're looking. Give me the Titans this weekend.
Okay.
Vrabel's coming off of a bye week. He's at home. He's taking on a division foe. I know that Jonathan Taylor might come back. I kind of hope he does, because the line will go down and I might be able to even get the Titans plus money. Tennessee is a running first team. Vrabel called out Derrick Henry before the bye week and said, you got to give us more. I think Henry has a huge game. They are 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread, against the Colts the last four. And they are also 8-1 in Nissan Stadium the last 9. Give me the Tennessee Titans to win whatever you have to lay, anything under 3.
I'm looking at -2.5 right now. It could change. Both teams are 3-2 ATS on the season. So very interesting there. Okay, so Tommy is giving us Tennessee -2.5. And then the Princeton, what was that one more time?
Princeton-Harvard.
Princeton-Harvard Friday night.
Over. Perfect.
Princeton, little Ivy Harvard, League over. Action
little
going
Ivy
right
League
there.
Action there.
Gotta love it.
All right, cool. So he's giving us two just like Coach last week. I'm good with that. Let's get that. Let's keep that undefeated streak going for the guest picks, right, Chris? We got to see that. Yeah. And obviously, guest co-host for yourself, you got to keep your streak going. You're 1-0, baby. 100%, you're undefeated.
And I'm very confident right now, Jose. Okay. I'm going to take a look at a team that's going to try to bounce back. They've lost 2 out of the last 3 ball games, sitting at 3-3 right now. And you got a matchup between, you know, if this was last year, you're talking about 2 of the better teams in the AFC. Obviously, the Ravens are hosting the Browns this weekend, and this, you know, coming off the loss to the Giants there in East Rutherford, New Jersey, they've been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team all season long when you think about the Baltimore Ravens. Now they're taking on a Browns team that, and Tommy just kind of alluded to it, you know, Jacoby Brissett, really? I mean, is it somebody that's striking a ton of fear in you from a, you know, from a Browns offensive standpoint? Look, I understand they have Nick Chubb in that backfield, quality guy in the backfield. They have, you know, pieces like Amari Cooper and some others, but I have absolutely zero faith that the Browns are going to go on the road and be effective offensively against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to lay the 6 with Baltimore, and the Ravens kind of right the ship a little bit and get the victory at home against Cleveland.
Chris, you're a brave man. You're taking a team that just cannot hold any type of lead going into second half of the game. I mean,
can't hold the ball.
I understand it's Cleveland, Chris, but that one is a bit. You're taking a little bit of a leap there because it's still a divisional game. You know what I mean?
I understand it's a divisional game, but have you looked at the schedule of the Ravens? Yes, they've been Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're saying they can't hold a lead. I mean, look, they lost last week against the Giants in New York. The Giants, they were beating the Giants in that game. So, yes, they coughed that up there. But, you know, the rest of their schedule, I mean, look, knocked off your Jets in week one. The Dolphins caught them, of course, as you're alluding to, in week two and won that football game. They essentially shellacked the Patriots in week three. And then, of course, they end up facing the Bills, and they had a tight one against Buffalo in the game in Baltimore. So I think,
Chris, how about
again,
a three-quarter line? How about a three-quarter line?
That's
a three-quarter line?
Yeah, fourth quarter line. But with the Baltimore Ravens, three-quarter line, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm backing the Brinks truck up. That's it.
All right, so for Ian's pick, because he did text me his pick, and it's kind of bad because I was going to run with this and now I can't do it because we can't have the same pick. He's taking the Atlanta Falcons. He texted me plus 6.5. I'm looking at plus 6. So we're going to give him the board that I use every single week just to be fair with everyone. So he's going to take the Atlanta Falcons plus the 6. That's not my pick of the week, but I like that pick just because of what I just said. I'm going to ride with the street. Call me crazy. I'm going to go where the money's at on that point. I like Atlanta to cover. It's not my pick of the week, though, but I'm in agreement with Ian. I can see them being in this game close. I can see them covering this 6. Not saying they're going to win, but I think the 6 is a very good call there. So for my pick of the week, which I already kind of had a backup. I was already looking at a backup possibly here to see what I was going to take. I'm going to take a team that played on Thursday night, which we talked about that last week, and hopefully they find a way to fix the Thursday night games because they're horrible. And the Washington Commanders, right. Okay? I like to look at home dogs when they're getting points. I don't trust Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't trust that Green Bay offensive line. I don't trust the Packers in general, if I'm being honest with you. And for them to be a minus 5.5 road favorite, sitting at 3-3 after losing to the Jets at home, not being able to do anything pretty much, right? This team does not look good. Aaron Rodgers does not have a number one guy anymore. It's obvious we see that.
Well, Lazard is the number one guy, right? But he's not a number one guy.
Exactly. So, yeah. On paper, he's the number one guy, but there is no number one guy in Green Bay. So call me crazy. I'm going to ride with it. Give me the Commanders plus the 5.5. I'm not saying they're going to win this game, but I think it'll be a sloppy, nasty game, just like the game against the Bears was. And I can see the Commanders being in this game. You saw the press conference with Rivera after the game talking about Carson Wentz and everything and what was going on. I think that just lights a fire under that guy. I think that the team's going to come out strong. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game or anything like that, but give me the Commanders plus the 5.5. That's my pick of the week there. I'm at 2-4. Ian's at 2-4. Guest picks are 4-0. We're trying to move to 6-0 with Tommy's picks. So, Chris, once again, let us know who you're taking real quick.
I got the Baltimore Ravens minus the 6 at home against the Cleveland Browns.
Tommy, once again, who do you have for your two picks?
Harvard-Princeton Friday night over, and give me the Tennessee Titans at home.
There we go. And then Ian, plus the 6 for the Falcons. As for myself, I am taking the Commanders plus the 5.5 at home. We've come to the end of the show here, fellas, right on time. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead and plug away. Let everyone know where they can find you guys. We'll start with Tommy. Tommy, let everyone know where they can find you on all things social media and on the web, my friend.
Guys, it's first and foremost, it's TomBartonSports.com. Go check it out. Tom Barton Sports over on YouTube. Go check me out at Sports Garden Network. All that we do over there, Wanna Bet, a couple of podcasts, Wagering Week, and Wanna Bet. And guys, remember, if you do like Ivy League, I have a podcast, Believe in the Ivy League, on the Believe Podcast Network. But it's TomBartonSports.com. I want you to sign up tonight because I have games going off. I have games going off tomorrow. Come and make some money right now. It's TomBartonSports.com.
We gotta hit up and do some type of collab, Tommy, where you can give some. I don't know if you do promotions or stuff like that, but maybe if some of my listeners hit you up, you can take care of them for the first time or something.
Normally,
like that.
Normally, it's 30 days for $200, Jose. Right?
Okay.
I'll give you guys 40 days right there. Boom, an extra 10 days.
There you go.
The hookup, baby.
Let them know.
We love it.
Jose V, Straight Bet Sports sent you, and Tommy will take care of you guys. Tommy, we greatly appreciate you coming on the show. As always, this isn't the first time, and it will definitely not be the last time that we get you on. So thank you so much for everything that you bring to the show and everything that you've helped me with, man. You've had me on your show a bunch of times with Tim on Heatwave Sports. You and I have gotten the opportunity to co-host together, which I love, and I appreciate that. So continue doing what you're doing, man. If you guys aren't following my guy, Tommy, please follow him today. Tom, you have yourself a great night. Enjoy the game tonight. I believe it's on already, so go Yankees, baby.
Thank you very much, Jose.
Chris, what you got, my man? Let everyone know
at
where they
Christian
can find
Wynn
you.
On Twitter. You can also find me at Chris W. Wynn on Facebook and CWynn77 on Instagram and all over the airwaves here in Las Vegas from Fox Sports Radio to KDON and across the board.
All right, man. So my final thought of the night, we've come to it already. Thank you so much for, obviously, first of all, to all of our sponsors and everyone a part of the show. Chris, thank you for being here. Tommy, thank you for being a part of the show tonight as well. And Quan, thank you for doing what you do every single week. Now, I do have a thought of the night tonight that I'm going to throw out there, which is going to extend into next week. And what I mean by that, I'm going to give you guys the details of what I'm talking about next week. But we're going to start it off this way. Electric Company LV, I heard you guys. I saw what you posted. I know I haven't responded, but trust me, you have been heard. Your voice will be met, and it will be brought out. Brett, you're back to your old games, my guy. You do not quit. It's time for you to sell the team and get out of town before they run you out of here, because eventually that's what's going to happen. You are one of the worst owners in all of sports. We've talked about that numerous times. I'm going to give you guys every single detail that was given to me by season ticket holders. You're basically putting a gun to people's heads and saying, either you buy these tickets or I'm going to charge you regardless of the fact. That's good business practice. That's how you keep good fans. You've lost a quarter of your seats. And what I mean by that, a quarter part of your stadium is now empty because no one shows up for the supporter part of that group. You still have another one that's there. Obviously, everyone's priorities are different. But Brett, get ready, my guy. There's a lot more coming. Till next week, for Jose V, Chris Wynn, Tom Barden, Quan 5'9", E&B at home, we greatly appreciate you guys. Till next week, we are out.
Peace.